time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. 501, episode 501, post 500, episode 501. Shout out to Levi's. Shout out to the ladies. You know, still ladies, Women's History Month. You know, we out here getting to it. Yeah. How you doing, man? What's cracking with you?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. Life is cracking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nigga up on his 2 feet. You know?
So appreciating
this shit.
Yeah, yeah. Gratitude, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah, there's a lot to be grateful for, brother.
I could dig it. Now, that's true. That is true story. That is true story. Yeah, hell yeah, because it could all be worse. You know? See this?
My nigga.
Yeah, it's crazy.
my nigga.
Yeah.
It's some niggas, man. And I don't even want to say niggas, man. But one of my homeboys had a cousin who had the same shit I had, right? Mm-hmm. Right around the same time, probably a little bit before me. That nigga just didn't make it. He passed away last week.
Oh,
God
shit.
Almighty. You know what I'm saying? I seen that shit. I'm like, oh, my God. Let me pull my life together, man. God Almighty. So, you know, I was like, I'm on my graceful shit right now. You know what I'm saying? Just
definitely
trying to maximize this bitch, you know?
Rest in peace to that man, for real.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. There was a comedian, and forgive me because I don't have his name top of mind right now, but younger comic passed away as well. You know, I don't know if it was a heart attack or something, but it was just pretty sudden. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, this is all. We only here for a bit, you know, so enjoy it and be happy that, you know, you're here now, you're breathing now, you're listening now, you're getting to, you know, get your steps in or whatever you need to do to feel like you're living, do it, you know, and be grateful. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. What you been up to? How was your week?
Man, my week was cool, man. You know what I'm saying? I had a good week. I just decided the other day that I gotta buy a new camera. I gotta buy a still camera. You know what I'm saying? Or at least a camera with some good still capabilities outside my phone. You know what I'm saying? You always get shit done with your phone, but it always feels different when you're shooting with a camera. You know what I'm saying? And recording life with a real cam, you know what I mean? And I haven't had a good still one since I bought my FS7 back in the day and moved to a bigger video camera. It kind of took the still stuff out the game. And I could tell by when you start looking over your pictures in your library, and then I could tell when I didn't have the 5D no more. You know what I'm saying? My still game went down the drain. You know what I'm saying? I started looking regular. And I want to put my eye back to work. You know what I'm saying? Especially now in this era. You know what I'm saying? Where you live in life with gratefulness, I want to record it with the same. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want it to always have to be video. I want to be able to take some dope stills and see where I could take it from here. You know what I'm saying? Cause I'm just feeling it right now, you know. I don't know, man, if that make any sense.
Nah, it makes perfect sense. You want to capture these moments in a real,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, not, serious
not even
fashion.
Just of my own self, just life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like that's the beauty of shooting. A lot of times is you just get into life. It don't even have to be your life. You know what I'm saying? You just capture that. Now you in it, you know what I'm saying? You go shoot some shit, you be inside somebody event. You don't even know none of these people, but you're in it and you become part of it. You become the history of it. You know what I'm saying? People counting on you to make sure that you tell the story right. And And in your own, when you're doing your own stuff, you counting on you to present life in a way that you see it from your point of view. And nobody else has that point of view. So, you know, putting that to work, man, is it feels good. And I haven't done it in a long time. And I, you know, kind of got down on myself about not doing it. So, like, nah, I'm finna pick my shit back up and do that shit. You know what I'm saying? What else am I gonna do? Except use my point of view, you know? So that's where I'm at. That's where I've been. That's like what I've been contemplating. It's been raining a whole lot. So you be inside the house trying to figure out, okay, what's next? And the biggest question I've had to myself since I, you know what I'm saying, came back up, woke up, was who am I? You know what I'm saying? And when you ask yourself, who are you? You got to answer that shit. You got to really start taking account of what it really is. You know what I'm saying? Because all that shit that it was before, it ain't that no more. Now it's something totally different. And I'm trying to figure out what that is. And, you know, it ain't an overnight question. It ain't a quick question. But these are all the pieces that go into the answer. And I just want to get to the answer.
I hear that. That makes sense. You know, at first when you said a steel camera, I thought you said a steel camera. I was like, no, okay. No. And then I got it after a while. It was the steel photos and shit. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, this nigga on some other shit. But I was like, he gonna get some substantial shit. He ain't fucking around.
Like them old big block ass steel Balenciagas.
Exactly. Yeah, some cumbersome shit. Nah, but I dig it. You know, it's so interesting that you're talking about that because last few weeks, you know, I often go downtown. I go downtown like every Monday for sure. And like one of the stops that I do a Barnes & Noble's run. Not a long one, but just like an hour. Mm-hmm. And I'll just sit up in there. And more often than not, last few weeks, I've been just thumbing through photography books of all types. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel you on it. And I take photos a lot too. I got a few different cameras, but I guess the more convenient thing is the iPhone, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a different context in how it's taken. Like I've been using it in a different way, more so like these real like kind of not street photography or street style that, but like just, I guess like ephemeral, like in the moment, like boom, just it is what it is. It's just, as you kind of said, like just point of view. Just the shit that I'm seeing as I'm walking down the block. Just quick snaps, you know, because similar to you, like my still cameras, I got my old school Pentax K1000, which is a film camera. Which I find myself when I'm using a film camera very particular about every shot. You know what I mean? Because it's the film of it all. And I was trying to do a bit about that. Like if you shooting film, like you still somewhat of an optimist. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like you hoping for the best, and oftentimes you are disappointed when you get them scans back. Like, this shit was underdeveloped. This shit was this, you know. But when you're shooting with some digital shit, you can see it in the moment, and sometimes it'll make me just shoot more and more and more. And I got the Ricoh, which I've had for years and years. Shout out to Aviva Klein, because I remember we had her on the show a while back. I'm not even sure if I was on that episode. I'm not sure. I may have been, but I remember, maybe I was, but somebody asked her what camera she used. And at that moment, she was using a Ricoh. And that made me go out and cop a Ricoh. And I liked the shit a lot. Like from out the box, the shit was official. Just, it has a crisp to it. But then I dropped that shit quite a few times, and now the shutter's a little slower. You know what I mean? It don't always like that crisp ain't there as much. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. It's tricky as fuck. And them cameras are expensive, but I'm thinking about copping another one at some point. But anyway, I say all that shit to say I totally understand where you're coming from. And I've been feeling the desire just to share some of these little shots. You know what I mean? Like, just to share it, just to your point of view. Because it's right. just what you saw in the world. When I was looking through these books, you know, it reminds me, like, when I go to these museums, you know, these are bodies of work. And sometimes some shit is dope and some shit is eh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it, you know, but it is what it is. It could all be by the same artist. And it's all mm-hmm. subjective. But it's like, oh, that shit was fire. I don't really get that, but I see how it fits into the theme of things or whatever, whatever. And then I'm seeing certain books are just, you like, nigga, this is a book? They published this? Like, you know, this shit regular. You know what I mean? But, yeah, man, I can't wait to see what type of shit you start sharing when you get that new still camera. You got an idea of what type of camera you want? A model?
I have, you know what I'm saying? You know how when you get in that camera rabbit hole, yeah. it mm-hmm. get kind of fuzzy.
Yeah.
So I ain't got there yet. I definitely want to get something digital. For okay. sure. You know what I'm saying? But something that's warm. You know what I'm saying? Right. Something that has a flavor to it. You know what I mean? Right. So I don't know what that is yet. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of niggas is picking up the Leica, and they got a certain look. But to yeah. me, Leicas look a little too stiff for me. You know what I'm saying? Too perfect.
It's sharp. They sharp yeah. as hell. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked kind of too perfect for what I'm trying to go for. I like the way that Canon stuff look. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I'm going to see how they stuff is looking nowadays as far as the new shit. But I don't want it to be too sharp like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to parade myself around as I'm a professional photographer. You know what I'm saying? I just want to do some slick ass shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I get it.
You know,
I get you.
Because yeah. it's people that they really are photographers, and they really, you know what I'm saying? I want to do some shit that feel like life, but I don't want it to feel like an iPhone. You know what I'm saying? I know how that shit come out. And
right.
the ergonomics of it, the, you know what I'm saying, just the reception of the world when you pull out your camera to take a shot is different than when you pull out a camera. You see what I'm saying? So even though you're recording as you see it, what you're seeing is seeing you differently when you got a real camera versus when you got a phone. You know what I'm saying? You're mm-hmm. still going to get the image, but you might not get, you know what I'm saying, the feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Any photographers you fucking with right now that kind of maybe not bring to mind exactly what you want to do, but like mm-hmm. anybody you want to shout out, you've been peeping some of their work as of late?
Just my homeboy John. You know what I'm saying? You see what I see on Instagram. He just put out his book on cigars. He's one of the Leica shooters. You know what I'm saying? And shit, you know, he used to shoot with me on all our shoots and shit. Now, he was the first one to move to the A. He moved to the A1 like 2017 and just with his motherfucking camera. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And it's living, you know what I'm saying, off of his camera. You know what I mean? Which is that artist life that you know, that you be in when you out there on your own doing that shit like that. So I'm proud of what he doing. You know what I'm saying? All the shots you see on Instagram with me, that's like professional, he did them. You know what I'm saying? The one with the car, the one with the suit. You know what I'm saying? All that shit is John. He got mm-hmm. his look. You know what I'm saying? I just want to do my shit a little differently. I don't want to do it for hire. I don't want to get hired to be a photographer. I just want to make dope shit and see what I can come up with.
I hear that. Salute. Yeah. Can't wait to see what happens, man. Wait. Yeah, no, I'm serious. Shit, man, what I do this weekend? This weekend, bunch of shows. Some shows out in Brooklyn. Where else was I? Shows out in Brooklyn. Where the fuck was I? Oh, I was in Queens. I was all over. I was in Queens. I did some shows out in Brooklyn. Then I was out in Atlantic City. It was cool, man. Just moving around, working out shit, working new joints, just getting the reps in, enjoying it, just, you know, in the mix with it, really in the mix with it. Feels good. While I was in Atlantic City, I guess it's pronounced pho. I had pho for the first time, pho, you know.
What was that? Oh, pho?
Yeah, but I think it's pronounced pho. Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, I had that for the first time.
What's that?
It's basically like, it's soup. You know, it's like a noodle soup. Somewhat along the same lines as ramen, but different types of noodles, like a thinner noodle. Mm-hmm. I think they call them white noodles. Not Indonesian. Is it Indonesian? Don't get me. I'm going to find out exactly what I'll look it up while we're talking. But there's a spot. It's a Vietnamese mm-hmm. soup dish. You know, consisted of broth, rice noodles, herbs, and meat. So mm-hmm. the shit that I had like some type of different types of beef, like beef flank, beef, just a bunch of different things. They even had like beef tripe and beef tendon. Mm-hmm. I know you fuck with the tripe. I had to chill on the tripe.
I don't fuck with that.
Oh, okay. I don't know what I thought. I guess that's because
I had never heard of it until you asked me.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you
yeah,
sent
yeah.
me a picture of some shit like that.
Yeah, that's that stomach.
Yeah, they had that shit. Had that shit.
Yeah. I ain't messing with that. But it's Cat JL Jupiter. You know I'll be fucking with a lot of the food reviewers. I probably shouted him out before. Mm-hmm. So he had a little thing where he was talking about this particular spot. And what struck me about it was every time I go to AC, typically I play the Borgata. This time I played the Tropicana. Mm-hmm. And every time I go to AC, or anytime I cross a bridge, whether it's going to Jersey or whether it's going to like Long Island or not even a bridge, or anytime I leave the city, more often than not, I hit a Walmart. Y'all know that. I fuck with a Walmart because we don't got no Walmarts in the city. I love the rollover savings and all of the other bullshit, right? America's mm-hmm. bodega. So every time I go to this Atlantic City, I go to this particular Walmart that's on like, I think Black Pike Horse Road or some shit like that. And when I'm driving there, every time I drive past this one, it's like this pink ass, it's like a strip mall, but it's this big pink like building that says Asian Supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so generic, but like it piques my curiosity every time. Like, yo, what's going on in there? You know what I mean? Because it got the vibe. Like, it looks like it could be like a flea market because it's like wide and it's the strip ball. It reminds me of like when you go past like to the Coliseum in Queens or whatever. Like, you know, like, or, you know, it's like one of those places where you walk in and there's probably a bunch of different stalls and all shit. At least that's what I'm thinking. So anyway, I was scrolling and I seen JL Jupiter had done a video, one of his food review videos, and it opens with that outside facade. I'm like, oh shit, that's it's in Pleasanton, I guess, but it's down by Atlantic City. I was like, oh shit, wait a minute. He says, when you go in here, you're gonna walk into this spot here. And I was like, oh shit, okay. And I've been saying for a long time I wanted to try pho. Right, I just been wanting to try because I fuck with ramen. You know, I like a good soup. You know what I mean? I'm a soup cat. So he was talking about it. I think he's Vietnamese, so he's like giving you the inside. You know, like the Sherpa take. Get this, hit this with that, this, that, and the other thing. And then the one thing that really stuck out to me was like, and if you really want a panic attack, get yourself a Vietnamese iced coffee. So I was like, oh, all right, bet. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to Atlantic City. I'm doing like two shows in that night and I'm jetting back. So I'm jumping back on the road. I was like, yeah, let me get that iced coffee. So I'm wired as fuck. You know what I mean? So I'm not feeling no type of fatigue or whatever on the road. And yeah, the pho shit was good, man. The pho was pretty. Or the pho. Whatever, the pho.
Fuck.
Pho. What? Yeah, I think it's pho. Because I've seen, I think in L.A. they have like a spot called 90214. or whatever the fuck is fa or whatever fa, any fucking way. Yeah, y'all let me know. Shout out to our Vietnamese listeners or our listeners that are sophisticated of the palate of the, you know what I mean, of the pho. You know what I mean?
So good as pho.
It was. That shit was pretty. It was sly. It was slamming. And then I didn't even finish all of it. So I took the rest of the shit to go. Then I reheated it the next day. Shit reheated well too. So yeah. So long story short, man, that's just what I've been doing. And then just a bunch of shows just in the world, you know, kicking it.
I'm gonna tell you about all them stomach linings and innards, as they call it. You know what I'm saying?
They call them sweetbreads.
That's what they.
I thought sweetbreads was like organs. It's like organs
innards,
I think
all
brain.
All kind of innards and shit. I guess the stomach shit and all that shit.
Brain is on that too.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that's what they would call.
Yeah.
And I went to Rome, right? And we was at this restaurant. And, you know, I don't understand the restaurant. I don't understand, you know, Italian. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to sort through the menu and shit, and I saw sweet bread. So I'm thinking, you know, okay, I could work with some sweet bread. You know what I'm saying? And so I ordered this shit. And they bring that shit out. It's kind of like a soupy type of shit. And I took one bite of that shit. I was like, oh, Lord. Hell no. Nigga, I was hungry for the rest of the night, man, because I could not do it. I couldn't do it, man. So
what it tastes like?
It tastes like organs. You know what I'm saying? And I don't.
What's
I don't
that
fuck
taste
with
like?
That shit, man. I don't like liver all that gizzards and I don't mess with that kind of shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Like the taste of it is like, ah, this ain't right. It feel like meat, but the shit tastes like trash to me.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And some people they love it. You know what I'm saying? They swear by it. But me,
damn. That kind of take nowadays, it gets you shitted on, not shitted on, but shamed on TikTok. You know, it's this whole
little movement. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure somebody out there right now saying, this nigga, this low palate ass, low vibrational palate ass nigga. But
look at this.
I can't do it.
I feel you. When it ain't for you, it ain't for you. You know, if it ain't for you, it ain't for you. I could dig it. It's some shit. Nah, but they get on you if you be like, this shit nasty or this is terrible. They be like, oh, his palate's not broad enough.
I ain't gonna do it like that. I ain't gonna just blanketly say it's nasty for everybody. It's nasty for me.
It's just not for you. Exactly. It's just not my vibe. Yeah, exactly. I'm cool on it. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. It's tough. It's tough because I feel you. When some shit is nasty, it is, you know, shit could be, it could be like a knee jerk to be like, oh, what the fuck is this? You know, and it's just like, some people, you know, people dig it. You know what I'm saying? People dig it. So it's just like, it's one of those things. I don't know if I've ever had sweetbreads. I think I might have. I mean, I guess liver is part of that tribe, which I'm not a fan of. Never really liked liver. I've tried it years later because my grandmother was a huge liver fan. Like, she liked liver and onions and all of that. And if it's prepared well, it looks decent, you know?
It's going to look good. It's going to smell good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The texture going to be right when it's good. And you cut that shit, and you put that shit in your mouth, you be like, damn, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
It's different. This shit is disconcerting because it looks one way. You like, wait a minute. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the texture get to be a little mushy on it, like a good little slivery ass texture. It ain't like meat.
Yeah.
We done pissed somebody off.
Nah, that's what it is. People like what they like, man. Shout out to the sweetbread lovers. And the name is a little deceiving. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, come on, you know better than this. Y'all know what you're doing.
They got me sweet caught bread. Up.
Hell yeah. Sweetbread. That shit sound like some shit you're going to enjoy. Anyway, speaking go ahead.
That's like the lady on the internet. She be doing these skits where she like the cougar and she got a young nigga. And every time she, like, you never see him. It's her voice, but you just see her acting it out. And I don't know her name. I wish I knew her name. I would have shouted out. But I just scrolled past it one day. And she be like, she always called a nigga Honeyfoot. Hey, Honeyfoot. You know what I'm saying? And they have a cougar young nigga conversation. That's sweet bread. You know what I'm saying? That shit sounds sweet, but that shit is mean.
Shit is aggressive. Oh shit, man. Speaking of beef, yeah, and I'm not going, you know. Did you hear the shakeup in the big three? Did you hear this verse on the Future Metro Boomin album, the Kendrick verse on
was
like
it really
that?
A verse or a couple of lines?
No, it was a verse.
It was a verse. I'm just saying, but like the diss was a couple of lines.
I think the whole verse was, I think the whole shit was about it. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like in a Kendrick way. You know, Kendrick is going to hit you with a lot of different wordplay. Some shit might be cryptic. Some shit might have some subtext to it and all of this other shit. But I think the shit was all the way on message. I don't think it was meandering. You know what
no,
saying?
He was like, definitely... Yeah. He was the best as usual on the verse. Now you know I'm the best motherfucker out here.
Yeah,
I don't know what you niggas talking about.
Yeah. With that said, this is what I want to ask you. If you know, considering, I mean, that's pretty much the established big three of you know this era. How do you rank the big three?
I don't. I'm not in it like that no more. I don't rank niggas like that no more. You know what I'm saying? I know it's niggas that's big out there, but as much as I think a nigga big, I get on the internet and research another nigga and he bigger than him. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't like when you in it and you in it day to day and you know the new nigga from when he dropped his first mixtape. I'm be coming in late. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, I just, you know what I'm saying, really dug into Young Thug this year. You see what I'm saying? So, if it's the big three, I won't even probably have Cole in it. But that's just me. Because I don't know his stuff like that. You don't hit me like that. You know what I'm saying? I hear. Now, the thing about J. Cole is, the funny part about J. Cole is why I will say I don't have him in my big three. But every time I hear a J. Cole record and I don't know who that is and I'm like, who that? And they're like, J. Cole. I'll be like, I like that. You know what I'm saying? So I can't call a big three, dog. And I'm sorry for not being able to answer the question. But, you know, I like as I like it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not fully invested in a nigga whole shit. I like they songs. I like this song. I like that song. And I move on to the next one.
All right. Well, what I'm saying is I'm not saying, because I'm going to push back a little bit on that.
Okay.
I'll challenge you. Because I'm not saying you have to create a big three. I'm saying from the established big three, which is Kendrick, Drake, and Cole, how do you rank? I mean, you're familiar enough with Drake.
Yeah, okay. If
you're
familiar enough
with Kendrick. Yeah, that's the three. That's the established big three.
Out of those three, I think Kendrick got it lyrically, you know what I'm saying? And artistically, Kendrick got it. His output is not as often, but when he comes, it's thought out. It's a art piece, right? His videos, he putting a lot of art into his work. So he's a consummate artist. So it is just him in his world. In the way that he do things his way. You know what I'm saying? Drake is big on a whole another level of making pop type shit and rising at the top of the music game. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's dropping records and fucking doing shows and internet trolling motherfuckers, he's figured out how to stay at the pinnacle of people's attentions. You see what I'm saying? Cole is good at being Cole, at being, you know what I'm saying, every man's an every man rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could do this shit, I'm good as, but he not flossing in a way that's saying I'm better than all these niggas. And he might say it, but he not living it out like a rapper would. You see what I'm saying? So I would give it to fucking Kendrick as being the top artist. But I give it to Drake as being the top, you know what I'm saying, music industry nigga. And Cole is Cole. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put him in my top three.
Mm-hmm. But if you had to rank those three, what would your ranking be?
It'll be Kendrick, Drake, Cole.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not specifically on nobody's lyrics or not, because, you know what I'm saying, it's just based on positioning.
It's your own opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And we had this conversation a couple of days ago about, you know, how, like, people don't know when to step out of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, to leave well enough alone. Nobody know how to leave on top. And, you know what I'm saying, people try, and then when they don't have it, they don't have it. You know what I'm saying? The world let them know they don't have it. And somebody said that's going to be Drake. And I could see that, but I don't think he's close to that. I think he got another good two in him, and if those are successful, then. But I think he got another good two in him.
I think that I agree with your ranking. Well, I rank them the same. I go Kendrick, Drake, Cole, for similar reasons. You know, I think Kendrick is probably the most interesting, at least project wise. You know, he gonna come with a body of work, and he gonna let you deal with that shit while he disappears. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not.
He gotta go concoct.
He goes in that bitch. He big mama. You know what I'm saying? He gonna cook, or, you know, like, or he like the Italian moms that's gonna be working on the sauce for 7 hours. Mm. You know what I mean? The gravy, and by the time that shit is done, it's like, nah, this was it. You know, Drake is good with that microwave. You know what I'm saying? Like, he know how to fix up. He put some shit together that tastes like that. This shit, you cook this on the stove? Nah, nigga, I put that in the air fryer. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Drake the air fryer rapper.
No. Put some respect on the air fryer. I'm not team air fryer. I fuck with Drake's music, but I'm not, you know, I might be one of the few people in my social circle that doesn't have an air fryer. People ride for this air fryer. I just think it's a small oven. You know what I mean? It's an easy bake oven for adults. But I do think that Drake is broad with all of his shit. He take risks. Just like, I think they all take risks in certain capacities. Mm-hmm. Kendrick is going to give you the artist thing, and it's going to be a huge theme to it. And it's like I said, it's a full course meal. Drake is gonna leverage his ubiquity, you know, and his ear for hits, and he gonna beat you in the head with his ear for hits. And now that he's such a huge star and he travels the world, he's early on sounds that people who haven't been to these places that he has been, he's early on that. Reminds me of like what Madonna used to do back in the day, in the way of, you know, she know that next sound that's coming around because she was just over there. Mm-hmm. And she know who the person is and who to get it and how to incorporate themselves. And, you know, So there's that, and take some risks. You know, that Honestly Nevermind album was a big risk that I think paid off. You know, like he got all types of shit. And I also think Drake is, you know, like I said, he's ubiquitous, but he's like, he is the big brand out of the three, right? And like many big brands that you see, I'm trying to think of a good example. Maybe Jay back in the day. I look at stuff like more currently, you look at like a brand like Supreme, right? And Supreme, you know, had its moment where it was like super cool, super cutting edge, downtown skater type shit. And then it became like a big brand, damn near almost, not a mall brand, but just huge and broad. And season after season, people be like, it's a wrap for them. They over. It ain't going there. Nah, I think this is it. Supreme is dead. Blase skip. And then year after year, the people still cop. You know what I'm saying? And the people stay fucking with it, and the margins don't slip that crazy. Right. I think it's like that with Drake. It's like, I seen somebody, I forget who said it, but Drake's been around so long that there's multiple generations that have their own iteration of Drake, you know? More so than the other two. I think if we get to Cole is probably, they all talented, they all dope, they all can all rap when they want to rap, you know? I think it took me the longest to get really on board with J. Cole, really for the fact of, I think the biggest factor was when he first started, he would produce his own shit, you know what I'm saying? He was on that like Kanye shit, but I don't think he had the ear that Kanye has. So some of his production, I didn't think was at the level of his lyricism. You know what I'm saying? And then I guess ultimately he's gotten better. He started to work with other people. He started to create bigger records and things of that nature. I also think that his appeal, you know, reminds me of like a Bob Marley. Like there was this footage I saw of Bob Marley like working on the conveyor belt at an auto plant in fucking Delaware. When he was Bob Marley. Like he was Bob Marley. He was the guy. Three Little Bird. Like he was Bob. This is Bob fucking Marley. You know what I mean? And he working on the conveyor belt with just the regular blue collar Bob. You know, and that's what you get when you see fucking J. Cole biking down the West Side Highway or, you know what I'm saying, at the shawarma truck, you know what I'm saying, real low key, going to this homegirl's, some girl that he knew from, she was one of his young fans, now she graduated high school, and he said, yo, if you graduate college, I'm gonna show up at your ceremony. Right. He liked the everyman of the three, you know, go ahead. And I think that out of the three, I think they were all celebrated to great effect. But I think out of the three, he's probably the one that still has a point to prove on a certain level. He may not be as celebrated as the other two, whether that's charts or critical acclaim. And you can hear it in some of his more recent output, like this whole, you know, this campaign to, you know, before he drops allegedly his last album, The Fall Off. Like, he been on a run, getting on these records with you know, doing these guest verses where he's demolishing everybody, you know? And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the fallout of this verse that Kendrick put out, because, you know, Cole got hit too. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, Drake has been in battles. You know, some went his way, some didn't. But he's out. He's went to war. Kendrick ain't really going to war. J. Cole is not really going to war. And it'd be interesting if those two go to war. That'd be a nice little treat for, you know, for the heads. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see what's going to happen. I don't even know. I'm a Kendrick fan. He just seemed like he just like has a thirst for it. But so does J. Cole. But I think it's gonna be interesting. I think a J. Cole versus Kendrick is gonna be probably more interesting than a Drake versus Kendrick, to be totally honest with you.
But everybody putting it on Drake.
Yeah, I think people putting it on Drake because he's the bigger name of the whole situation, and he was the initial target. You know, there's been a history of Drake versus Kendrick, you know what I mean, where they kind of shoot shots at each other but don't really all the way go in on each other. It's just a lot of simmering. It never really comes to a full boil, you right. know what I mean? So it should be interesting. It should be interesting because these are the ones. Right. These are the ones. This is Jay and Nas type shit. You know, these right. are the Dundadas of this era. So be kind of interested to see them really go at each other. You know, because it don't happen as often as it may have used to. You know what I'm right. saying? Like, it's a lot of subliminal shots and niggas unfollowing each other or on Instagram and, yeah. you know, weird passive-aggressive type of moves. But if it just comes down to some bar work, I'm excited to hear that shit, you know?
The beauty of the whole thing is it's not like none of these niggas counsel each other out. They are not in each other's lanes. You know what I'm right. saying? Like, each fan base can rest where they at. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like the general perception of who's the best is at stake. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, as far as a brand, there's no rapper brand bigger than Drake's. You know what I'm saying? And it's not even at stake. You know what I'm saying? It's like where, like, he came in the game occupying a space that nobody else occupied. You know what I'm saying? That almost nobody else wanted. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody want to be tough. Everybody want to be, you know what I'm saying, Dope boy gangster rapper, you know what I'm saying, drill rapper, you know what I'm saying, we kill type shit, you know what I'm saying, and he could tap into that because of his connections and who he came up under and who ride with him and who he got a ride for, you know what I'm saying, he could tap into that shit and they gonna keep him tapped into that shit, but he could also tap into the flip side, the pop side, the R&B type of shit, the acting and shit like that. And he'll go do a motherfucking, you know what I'm saying, brand deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't too many niggas that's brand friendly enough to do that. And that only happens every so often. Like, Jay probably was the last one. Who else was a big brand rapper?
Kanye?
Ye. Jay?
Yeah.
Drake?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it don't happen all the time.
It ain't that many of them niggas out there. So it's hard to cancel them out. You know what I'm saying? Cole got his own lane, and he gonna be the people's champ. You know what I'm saying? Same with Kendrick. You know what I'm saying? He got his own lane, and he ain't as, you know what I'm saying, ubiquitous. And he keeps it low, and he keeps it in a certain, he keeps it very vague, you know what I'm saying, and artistic. And he could run the whole art lane all his whole fucking career, you know what I'm saying? He'll be an old rapper at the museum and shit, doing shit. Y'all be like, damn, how Kendrick still making money? And he will be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So Drake not in a position like a Meek, you know what I'm saying? Or a lot of the other rappers that's out there.
Yeah. What you mean by that? What you mean?
It's just like, you know what I'm saying? They not as brand. They not as a big brand of a rapper.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what yeah, I'm yeah, saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, no, their sure. name ain't like a business per se. It is, mm-hmm. but you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? When you think of Meek, you think of certain things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The only rapper, I mean, and I got to give it to him because he wasn't necessarily a brand rapper, but the nigga was able to flip that shit, which was Rick Ross. Like, he somehow been able to take that, the shit that everybody doing, but make it make himself in a way where it's a brand. You know what I'm saying? Millions of dollars of branding just off of my name. And I don't even put out records that much. And I talk the same shit that other niggas talk. You know what I'm saying? How he was able to do it, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. But he was able to do it.
Kind of bought his way in. You know, like he bought his way in on a certain level. And used his platform to platform his acquisitions and like diversifying. You know what I mean? I'm a boss. Now I got, you know, I got lemon pepper wings. You know what I'm saying? No, sure. I got Bel Air champagne and all of this other shit. Like, he knew, like, hold on now. If we're gonna have some silos.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he good for that. Yeah. I don't know if he get enough credit for it either, but it be working.
Yeah, he worked that shit out.
Yeah. Now, as far as a brand you could trust, and as far as you know, champagne and you know, all of that other good shit. Living? Let's take it out to the Midwest. Take it out to Detroit.
Detroit, you know? City.
Detroit City. What it do?
What we up, got though?
Yeah, what it do? Yeah, my bad. What up,
you
though?
Took it back to Miami. Me.
Yeah. That's Miami. What it do?
What it do is Miami.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. What up, though? We back. Here we are, Detroit City. BMF, episode 304, The Return of the Prodigal Son. Got your man. That's, you know, that's, it says it all.
Yeah.
Return.
You already know who they talking about.
Return. Hell yeah. You know who they talking about, what we call them.
Reverend Dr. Martin Luther Meech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. He back because Loco don't trust OT. He don't see eye to eye with T.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
And it be like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As Meech told him on there, you know, first impressions is everything, and you fuck that up.
So, yeah, so, okay, so you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so, you know, this particular episode, you know what I'm saying, we come in into, you know, Detroit. You know, T got CPS problems, you know what I'm saying? He got a restaurant to run, you know what I'm saying? And he got the team off in the restaurant, you know, doing more than ordering meals, I guess. I guess they got food in that motherfucker. I ain't never seen nobody bring out a plate, but, you know. You ever seen anybody eating that motherfucker?
I seen homegirl get a little styrofoam situation. I don't even know if there's anything in there. Yeah, a little to-go box. I don't know if anything in there.
Yeah, but, I don't recall seeing a good mac and cheese that they speak of or a chicken wing or nothing like that, but, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So T got trying to get his situation set up. Meech down in the A, you know what I'm saying, kicking it with Loco, smoking, you know what I'm saying, what looks to be Cali Bud, you know what I'm saying, a little bit before the era of Cali Bud like that. But, you know, you know what I'm saying, they, you know, it, you know, we
with a grinder?
With a grinder.
Right. Right.
With a modern grinder.
Yeah, little Santa Cruz shredder.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, they were some grinders back in the day, but they was more crude, a little more, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Rough looking with a handle on the bitch or something. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But, you know, I ain't no connoisseur, so I can't speak to what was the tools of the trade back then.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked way too lumpy to be, you know what I'm saying, 92, 93.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Some brolic buds.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they kicked it, and then the pilot called, and they was like, he spoke English, so they ain't speak English like that, so they wanted to get a phone to Dimitri, you know what I'm saying, the trusted Meech, and he needs to identify if this guy is legit or not based off of his English. And so it was a real quick little conversation. Hey man, what's up? You good? You want your money up front or you want it later? You know what I'm saying? And then, all right then, bye. And then he was like, nigga, what was y'all talking about, baby? What was said? Was he the feds? He was like, nah, you know what I'm saying? If he was the feds, he would have asked for his money up front, but he asked for it later. So we good. You know what I'm saying? Dimitri is smart. He's a smart magical Negro.
Smart nigga. I told you he was smart. I told you this nigga got drug dealer best practices.
You know what I'm saying? So he was like, okay then, the pilot bringing it in, you know what I'm saying, up in Michigan. But you got it, you know what I'm saying? He was like, yeah, my brother will go get it. He was like, nah, we don't fuck with T. Nigga, you got to go get it. He like, all right, then, shit, you know, ain't nothing to, you know, Meech going to roll with the program, you know what I'm saying? Make sure his brand is straight, talking about a big brand drug dealer. That's him, you know what I'm saying? So we flash back to the DB back in the restaurant, you know what I'm saying? T trying to keep the guys under control. They like, where the product at, you know what I'm saying? They're like, hold on, man, just deal me some cars. I'm going to go back in the kitchen. While he in the kitchen, yo, Magical Meech walks in. Oh, what up, boss? Okay, boss, thank you for getting my son some Gucci wear. You know what I'm saying? You know, he done did everything for everybody. You know what I mean?
From afar.
From he's afar.
Still close. He's still
omnipresent.
Meech out in touch. Right. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
So he and then T come back out. Oh, here this nigga, my magical brother. You know what I'm saying? So they get into some sibling rivalry or whatever, you know. Tell him that, you know, the drop is here. You're like, well, why you ain't have me go get it? Because they don't fuck with you like that, nigga. I told you first impressions is everything, and you fucked that up. So here I am, you know what I'm saying? Now you going to drive all the way out there and all nothing but white folks, and you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, nah, you ain't even got no license. He's like, I don't need no license to drive 250 keys. I ain't stopping nowhere. So, Mr. Magical Meech goes out for the drop to meet the pilot. Plane there. He like, well, goddamn, this is a big-ass plane. He's like, yeah, you need a big plane to carry 2,500 keys. He like, 2,500? Nigga told me 250. Well, it's 2,500. So, now they got to get rid of 2,500 keys in 24 hours. You know what I'm saying? 2,500 keys in 24
Light
hours.
Work.
You know what I'm saying? Call everybody you know. Bring them in. Tell them we got it for the low. You know, BMF got the best product. I mean, they got the sales pitches down pat. You know what I'm saying? They branding is immaculate. You know what I'm saying? BMF got the best product and the best price. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like a, you know what I'm saying? Like a Midwest furniture commercial and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy Eddie. Yeah.
Money Meech. So, right. So they pick up the keys. But then, old Henry, she mad. They mad. I mean, how about what the pronouns is on that? You know what I'm saying? They mad. You know what I mean? Like, we got to get, what's the cricket cop name?
Bryant.
Now, thank you for that information. But I need you to follow the drop so we can take it down. You know what I'm saying? And then my daddy is going to respect me after I take BMF down. I'm like, man, this is getting real weird with this father figure who ain't in the story at all. You know what I'm saying? At least he could have been an old player that, you know what I'm saying? Remember in the first season they had the old players and all that shit? Like,
yeah,
he ain't even playing a part. He just some fucking lines in the script. You know what I'm saying? My daddy gonna respect me. So Brian's supposed to follow the motherfucking load and drop the info. So they pull off with the load, pack the van. Oh, Matt Meech is in a convertible Benz. He ain't gonna be able to carry 2,500 keys in that Benz. So,
not at all.
So he gets to thinking. Walks out the door. As soon as he walks out the door, there's a white van. And he walks up to the man with the van. Listen, man, let me get your van. I have it here parked in the morning. And the nigga like, you know, nah, I'm good. Then he showed him the money. He's like, go ahead then. Now, would you have given your van up that easily?
I don't know.
With a little half a bankroll that wouldn't even cover the van if it was stolen.
That's a good point. Now, what year is this? Because the years are so fluid. 93. Okay.
I don't care. That was not even, that wasn't 10 grand. That wasn't seven. Mm. That probably was a grand, 2,500 tops.
I like how you eyeballed the bankroll. he was like, that shit there. I don't know. I felt as though, was that his van or was it his job's van?
It don't matter.
Okay.
He just walked off with the man's van. You won't even let a nigga ride your bike.
Look, man. We all know Meech don't lose.
No,
so
he don't.
That man, it was fate. That man didn't even realize that he didn't have a choice but to say yes. You know what I'm saying? Meech hit him with the mind control. It wasn't even about the bankroll. It was just about the moment that he got to have with Meech. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When he saw the money, that was just icing on the cake. He was already like, he was over. He was done. He didn't realize it. He was like, oh shit, I'm in a trance. Of course I'm about to get this man my van and risk my entire livelihood on a nigga that I never met before, but somehow his rat tail makes him trustworthy. So, yeah, go ahead, brother. You could take it, and I'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting here for you. Thank you.
So Meech takes the van. They pack it up, you know what I'm saying? Him and the pilot take off. Pilot got to stop and use the bathroom in the middle of the load for whatever. He on the way to the hotel, but I don't know why he got to stop and take a piss, but obviously to set this scene up. So they pull on over, and here come old Brian in a dusty, you know what I'm saying, in a dusty old goddamn
station wagon.
I couldn't even get the shits out. He in a station wagon. So he pull up, Meech look at him like, oh, Brian, oh, shit. Brian, right. Then the police pull up first, go in the spot. He like, damn. Then Bryant pull up. She's like, man, hurry up, man. Come on with it so we can get out of here. So,
and Meech looking like a full drug dealer.
Right. This nigga like, got Rolex, you know what I mean? Like, Gucci frames, Gucci jacket, rat tail.
You don't look like a nigga that, you don't look like he drive a work van.
No. He not even supposed to be in this van.
Not at all.
He dressed like the Benz he was in.
Right.
So, anyway, Meech is not sweating no bullets. He don't care nothing about this. He's like, I got an idea. He had the idea as soon as Bryant pulled up. He ain't even had, it wasn't even no time to even think of the idea, but the idea came. He picked up the big block cell, called the pilot and told him, you know what I'm saying, sick the dogs on him. You know what I'm saying? The police that walked in, he told the white man to tell the other white man that this man was following him, think he was going to rob him. So,
you think he called the pilot?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think he called the pilot. I didn't think that. I thought he was calling somebody else. I don't know who he's calling. I thought he was about to call T or somebody like that. So you think he called the pilot?
Yeah, I think he called inside and talked to the pilot.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And then the pilot made, you know what I'm saying, did his thing, and then they rolled off.
Yeah.
And then O'Brien got arrested.
Yeah.
You know? So they get away with the load. They pull into the stash spot. You know what I'm saying? They get the selling. You know what I'm saying? Shit, next thing you know, they got a whole counter full of money. You know what I'm saying? Count it up. They don't use machines. They like to count by hand. And, you know what I'm saying? And shit, they broke down how their money was always neat. That's why the plugs loved them, which is some true shit. That's some real shit. Niggas who be, you know what I'm saying? Nigga plug don't want to be dealing no big bill, dealing no big business with no whole bunch of balled up 20s. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Little 20s, like niggas want that shit right. You know what I'm saying? Easy. It's in there. It stacks easy. It's wrapped right. It's, here you go. Boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean? So, boom, they got it done. You know what I'm saying? Pilot flew out 24 hours later. You know what I'm saying? All is well. And then here come Tender Dick T. Yeah, I'm about to go to dinner with Keisha. Then Meech's like, nah, you ain't going to dinner with Keisha, man. Nikki is cooking dinner for everybody. Granny, you know what I'm saying? Daddy, everybody. He's like, damn, nobody ain't tell me because I'm the favorite.
prodigal son, brother.
You know what I'm talking
we
about?
We don't fuck with you.
We'll see you at the spot, baby bro.
Damn. All right. Let me jump in here. Hold on. One thing I noticed too, there's a couple things. I got some notes and shit. When they was out there counting all that money, that one piece of the blondes was closed.
No.
Blondes was wide open. Like, all right, now
nobody coming trying to get a hot plate.
No, not at all. Nobody tried to come in and fucking ransom, you know what I mean? Ambush the spot. None of that. Right. But Let me just point out a few things that I thought about this, the B story. So so we see, there's quite a few things. You know, I always like, there's always a line each episode that sticks with me. Shout out to that writer's room they got in there, because they be having some slick shit. And my line from this episode was from King Henry VIII. She said to Markeisha, she said, "Yo, why don't you come over here and get that back cracked like a glow stick?"
Damn.
Nigga, that shit is hilarious. It is so visual, but that shit is funny as shit. She's over the top. Her character is super over the top. It's like, it's a little much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not well developed.
No. It's almost like a caricature, but we having fun with it. It is what it is. You see Mr. Charles in that bitch trying to, you know, I guess, I don't know, slow walk, but he definitely tapping into his chi. You know what I'm saying? He trying to get back to the man he once was. He and that bitch doing dumbbell curls with the you know what I mean? With the beater on. You know what I'm saying? He's getting back on his drywall repair. You know what I'm saying? Because something about that drywall get him wet. You know what I mean? So he out there doing that. you know, Meech never loses. We've established that. I thought, you know, you talk about Nikki cooking dinner for the whole family. You know what I'm saying? Nikki cooking dinner for the whole family. And it was such a ideal-ass scene. It was just so black Norman Rockwell. Like, it looked good. Everybody was there. Mm-hmm. Meech come through with the flowers and shit, gets the full hug. T get a little side hug, a little platonic ass hug from his moms. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, you too. What up, little nigga? Everybody sitting around the table, little baby in the high chair. I'm thinking the way it was shot, the way it was moving the red, I'm thinking, oh shit, some type of violence is gonna happen, some type of drive by, somebody from outside the house gonna shoot this whole shit up. Little did I know, the drama was going to come from within. Nikki, she aired that whole fucking
remember
table.
Remember we said
out.
Nikki ain't had no lines?
Yes. Nikki, she heard that shit. Niggas heard that shit. Shout out to the writers and shout out to who plays Nikki. We're going to shout you out. I'm going to find your name in a second. But she aired that fucking family out. Reminded me of that Diane scene in Power. Was it last season? It was the same type of shit where she was like, "And this motherfucker over here, I know you ain't talking, nigga. You over here, with your harlot and all of this over here, and you talking about I'm about to get pregnant and this nigga killed my first boyfriend," and like everybody had to answer for something.
Her name is Layla Pruitt.
Shout out to Layla Pruitt.
You know what I'm saying?
Won't she do it?
Yeah.
A-all. So So boom, she put motherfuckers on their back and she go upstairs. Of course, Meech. Meech got to go up there and hit her with some resolution.
No, no doubt.
Don't make me laugh, Meech. Come on now. Hey, look, I know how you feel.
Stop coming in here and being all charming.
Yeah, come on now. Meech is what I do. So Meech resolves the whole shit. And then the other thing that I saw, Lucille, even though she was turned on by Charles, she don't really trust, you know, she don't trust the trauma that she's been through. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She looking at another. She looking at door number two. She looking at the dock. You know what I'm saying? And Uncle Charles wasn't really tripping too tough on the money, on the check. You know what I'm saying? But she had her defense. Man,
he knew he in a bad position.
Yeah, nigga. What about you and Mabel? You know what I'm saying? And that Mabel was her homegirl. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And went to the same church and all of that shit. Yeah, but yeah, I guess
I know you ain't talking.
Nigga. So, boom. So, she run out. Go see the doctor again. You know what I mean? For a checkup.
Go see the doctor.
You know? Go see the doctor. And it got a little hot for a hot second. You know, it was about to go all the way there. The doc was about to play Lucille like B.B. King. But she said, whoa, let's slow down. So she come back a little flustered, hot and bothered. All of the kids is there looking deep into her soul.
Charles looking all buffed.
This nigga just in a towel. You know what I mean? He just came from jail. He went to jail for 30 minutes and shit. Was on some old crazy. You know what I mean? Nigga got the pull-up bar on the motherfucking on the damn doorway and shit. Like, yo, what's cool?
That's what they was talking about on Lil Duval page. Like, how he got the pull-up bar? Them shits didn't come out till like the 2000s.
Nah, the pull-up bar been around for a while now.
You said they came out after 93. It's like, nigga, the grinder, the pull-up bar.
Yeah.
And I always say it's 93 or whatever. They got like a 90 box Chevy. All the Miami niggas always drive box Chevys.
Right.
And they like the 90 box Chevy with the, you know what I'm saying, with the Euro lights. But then they all look like they 50 years old. Like they old 30-year-old cars, but it's a new car in that era.
And some of that polo they wearing is definitely a little later date than some of that shit.
They need to borrow some folks from Raising Kanan. Yeah,
they need that set designer to go in there and with the fine tooth comb. You know what I'm saying? But so yeah. So he campaigning slowly. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know. It's a rough road. Yeah, he's it's tough for him. But I'm trying to think if anything else, those were just really some of my
Mama caught, you know, Nicole in there with all her little friends, you know what I'm saying? She's trying to get close with Playboy, you know what I'm saying? He playing his hand, old cat from the church. But then we find out, you know, she don't want him to get killed like her last boyfriend. So she, you know, she trying to play it smooth. Mama is off over the top trying to protect her. You know, doing mama stuff. Don't y'all supposed to be home for the lights, street lights, come on. But then the windows look like it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So.
Yeah, she was flustered. She ain't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was her fault. That was the script.
Yeah. Markeisha is kind of low key life coaching T.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, T, I need you to man up. I need you to be the man I see you as.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, King.
I can't be running around here with some Rudy poop nigga.
Yeah.
Running around his big brother.
Last to know you invited to dinner? Come on, nigga. You know what I mean? I'm out here fucking extorting city council for your ass. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck? I can't go to dinner? So there's that.
No, you can't come to that dinner, Markeisha. You know you can't go.
No, sorry. Sorry now. But I knock you down. You know what I'm saying?
She like, nigga, keep paying this rent over this motherfucker.
Yeah. Then, what's my man's name? Old Stacks. Stacks and the Miami Killers. You know, Stax is trying to set a trap for Meech.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the Miami Killers is looking at him like he a clown. They talking shit about him in Creole.
Especially with that wig on.
Oh, man. So, yeah. But this particular episode, I mean, it was only a quick short scene. It wasn't as bad. And it was a moment where it was very, I don't know if it was self-aware, if 2 Chainz just played it like that, but like, he made a face to where, you know, because he's still face acting, so he made a face to where he let the audience know, come on now, I know them niggas wasn't talking about my driving. I know they was talking about some bullshit, but it is what it is. We'll see what's what. So we'll see what happens with that. Angel is living with Meech. Curious how that's gonna play out.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. That's his chick now.
Yeah, I guess so. They you know, Detroit's finest. You know what I'm saying? She got the sweatshirt.
Hey,
that was before the hoodies. Before hoodies was getting stolen, it was a sweatshirt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, he's a man of the people, man. He's a man of making sure everybody lives their best self. You know what I'm saying? From every category. You know what I'm saying? You got to use your talents. You know what I'm saying? Just dance. Don't you ain't never got to give your money to another man again. Just use your talents.
Yeah. Shake that ass and make it happen.
Like,
for
that's
yourself.
All her talents.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, like, look. And then real fast, nothing too much with, I guess, Thelma and Louise. They starting to cook a little bit. They starting to bring people down. You know.
That old dry ass storyline.
Yeah, you know, they need some seasoning on that storyline. They trying to show that the new one is a little bit resourceful. You know what I'm saying? She's using ice cream to get confessions out of motherfuckers and things of that nature.
Grown-ass men. Also,
you said what?
Grown-ass men.
Yeah, turning for ice cream. So there's that, and then they're trying to, you know, turn it up a little bit with Bryant. And his old partner, was it Janet? I forget her name, but you know, nigga, I know you out here doing that bullshit. He like, well, I know you doing the bullshit too. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, we'll have a stalemate. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, whatever. We'll see what happens. It's kind of slow motion on that side. But, yeah, I think that's it, really. I think that's it. Anything else you got? Predictions?
That's about it, you know?
Well, shit. I feel like we should do like the pilot and take off. Get back in wheels up. Get back in the world. There it is. There it is. Shit. Early, before we go, early shit. I got I'm gonna have some more. Check out DamianLemon.com. I'm about to put up some show dates. But right now, one thing that I could say, I'll be out in Seattle. I'll be in Seattle on the August 30th. August 30th to the 31st. I'll be at Seattle at Capital City Comedy Club. And I got some more stuff. Things are coming in. So I'll be updating the page, DamianLemon.com. About shows in the world, and next week I'll tell you about some more. But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend,
and even an enemy,
to get in the conversation. We out.